You are tuning in to the Atlanta Realtors Rundown, the official podcast for the Atlanta Realtors. We're here to keep you updated with the latest trends, topics, and keep you in the know of our ever-changing Atlanta market. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Atlanta Realtors Rundown. I'm your host, Matt LaMarche. Super excited for today's episode. But before we get into it, you have got to hit the subscribe button. You've got to leave us a great rating and a great review here. We'd love to hear what your takeaways from the podcast are, what you've learned, maybe what you didn't know about Atlanta real estate in the past. That would be amazing to hear from you all. And of course, our staff, as well as all of the podcast committee members and our board of directors, of course, would also love to hear that. So thank you so much for doing that. But before we get into this episode, I just have to tell a little story because I think way too often we just get people into the studio here and we talk to them about our business, and maybe it's more specific to Atlanta, maybe it's more of a national level, maybe it's more economically driven or more affordability. Like, there's always a specialty. And this guy is a jack of all trades, I would say, within our industry, and has been a huge influence on me personally. And so I wanted to bring him to you all because I think he's brilliant as not just a real estate leader, but also as an agent, as a realtor. And he has taught me a lot, but also I think we can all continually learn from each other as things change, let's just say, in our world, how we continue to navigate a real estate transactions and all of our buyers, sellers, and investors that we're helping in the coming years. So without further ado, Mr. Ray Allen, thank you so much for agreeing to be here and do this for me. I really do appreciate it. And I think people are going to really enjoy the conversation today, but I also think they're going to learn a lot. So
thanks, thanks for having me. And you've way oversold this so far. So
that's right.
Expectations a little bit.
Yeah, set the expectations low and then we'll exceed them, right? Yeah, no.
That's right.
No,
that's
they won't be disappointed. So Ray and I actually met a couple of years ago now. It's been years, not months like it used to be. Years on Clubhouse, a social media audio app where you could basically tap into like a live podcast or a live conversation. And it was really interesting because realtors kind of found this area and then they all started talking. And I thought I was going to use Clubhouse to connect with clients. And that has not happened once, by the way, which was a little disappointing. I was hoping that would be a whole new lead generation activity for me, but it's fine. I found a great tribe on there and Ray came out of that tribe. But for those of you that have never heard of Clubhouse or been on Clubhouse, it's been through its ebbs and flows. But again, social media, audio app, so purely audio, no video. You can't, you know, distract. It's really like a distilled version of attention seeking in a way. Like, you know, if you're good live, you're good on Clubhouse, I think. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so. I think there's some people that may not be great on video that are good on a phone call. I would say if you're good on a phone call, you're great on Clubhouse.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's that live, like, you know, interaction with whoever's in the audience and whoever else is up on stage. And I remember first talking on it being a little bit nervous, but, you know, because I do live shows and stuff, but it was different. But I think it's more like a phone call. If you're good on a phone call, you'd love Clubhouse.
Yeah.
But every time I mention that we were broadcasting on Clubhouse or we're still doing stuff on Clubhouse, people say, Clubhouse still exists. I'm like, yes, there's still like a budding community there too. I mean, I think it's still growing. They need to stop changing the app, but it's still growing.
Agreed. Yeah. Once you get used to it, they change it. That's how I feel like every great social media app goes. I remember when Facebook made the first change after years and I was like, what is this? Is this a whole new thing going on?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Bizarre. But anyway, all right. So before we get too deep in here, Ray, just quickly for our audience, who you are, where you are, what you do, the team that you lead, so on and so forth, just like the Reader's Digest version of who Ray is, of course, set that bar a little bit lower than I did so that we'll recalibrate.
It's no problem. Let me start with, I began my real estate career as an assistant.
So that's perfect.
Yeah, I know. I was an assistant for a whole bunch of real estate agents up in Northwest Arkansas. And I still do real estate now in Central Arkansas. But at the time I was just helping them market and sell properties and help them sell like $49 million in property. And I did the math on that, had a real estate license and realized I should get my license. So I was licensed in January of 2007 and we had an amazing 4 or 5 months. And then the world real estate market started to crash around us. So I became I still did real estate for about 2 years. Then I became a business broker because I could do commercial and sell businesses. And at the time that was kind of what was moving. And then I came back to residential real estate in 2013 and really just went full bore into it. We moved to Little Rock, which is Central Arkansas, which is where I work now. And for about 2.5 years, just studied processes and systems. Wanted this client to have a phenomenal experience. And this one was a phenomenal failure. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that 2.5 year period, I was one of the top agents here. So I thought I should start marketing. So I put the same focus into marketing. Why did this ad work? And this ad failed. How can I double down and put more behind that? What should I do different? And then that kind of launched us into the national spotlight as we were pulling from other industries to figure out what we should do in real estate. Now the rest is history. I run a team called Pixel Properties. We just got our 10th agent this week. So we're continuing to grow. Last year, for most of the year, we had about 4 agents. We did 120 transactions. And so this year we're looking to do well over 200.
Very good. Well, and I love your background too, because, you know, we all talk about our life in real estate, our life around real estate, and whether you've been in for 3 weeks, 3 days, or 3 years or 30 years, whatever you did before you got into real estate can actually be a superpower. And so I love your background, especially around the business broker stuff. Cause I of course have been scrolling TikTok and Instagram, watching all these people talk about there's 1 million businesses or 11 million businesses out there that are run by moms and pops, and they're basically just going to go away. And those businesses could be sold. And so I think you bring a unique perspective, not just because of that, but because of your experience in the real estate world and even the commercial side of things. You have a little more of a complete vision, I think that's safe to say, of like just coming in as a residential realtor.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that compliment.
Yeah, no.
In the business brokerage world, the real estate is the easy part of the transaction. Mm. So the hard part is the moving income stream, furniture, fixers and equipment, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of money to be made there, both in people that are trying to sell the business and people that want to buy and improve. There's tons of opportunity there. And you see a lot of people getting into private equity and owning businesses and that kind of stuff as mm-hmm. as a way to make a fortune. I think the tremendous lendable value comes from the real estate portion mm-hmm. because the business itself is very tough to get a loan for. Mm. And so if you own the real estate that you're in, then you have a chance at getting a better deal whenever you sell it, because you can then do, so it's called blue sky. You can kind of seller finance the rest of that. Mm-hmm. And then you can get a loan for at least the real estate portion. So yeah. It worked hand in hand for a while. And if you remember back in those days, people were being dumped from their big Fortune 500 companies and they had this 401k, and we were finding ways to roll over the 401k to the purchase of a business without penalty. And real estate agents can still do that today as people buy, instead of buying, like, let's say a portfolio of homes, buy the business that owns the portfolio of homes, because then you can roll over some of your retirement account in there if you want to and purchase it without penalty. So
yeah,
it served me well and just given me some extra information or extra knowledge in some of those transactions.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Well, so the reason I wanted to have you on is because I feel like you do a great job of distilling information down, and between several book clubs that we've been a part of, as well as clubhouse rooms and YouTube recordings and so on and so forth. I think one of your unique talents is to take what may seem to the common person and even common realtors as a very complex or complicated issue or challenge or thing that changes in our business and really make it simple to overcome or simple to attack in some cases. And so for me, I'd really like to kind of start off with, you know, where you started versus where you are now. How do you think differently about our business? How do you think, you know, now knowing, my favorite question is now knowing what you know, if it all went to zero tonight and you had to wake up tomorrow and start completely over, but had all the same knowledge you had, where would you spend the money? What would your activity, what would a typical day look like? Because I think that helps a lot of realtors, new realtors, especially start out with, okay, Ray's a smart guy. He's got, you know, 15, 17 years of experience in several different facets of real estate. I'm going to just start with one of the things that he talks about today. So if you could start all over, what would you do differently? What would you do the same? Where would you just focus your effort at this point?
That's a great question. I think there's no replacement for hard work and there's no easy way in real estate. And I think that's the same as it was when I started and the same as it is today. Anyone that tells you this is easy is wrong or lucky. They either got just super lucky in some deals, or they're just wrong in trying to attract you to something. Mm-hmm. I think even now more than ever, with all the changes that are coming, proving your value is not going to be a matter of how you communicate what you do. That's part of it, very small part of it. Proving your value is going to be showing people what you do. Mm-hmm. And with the internet where it is, and I sound so old if you say with the advent of the internet, but the internet these days, you could just, I'm just saying you can document mm-hmm. everything you're doing, and it's easier than ever to show people, hey, this is a neighborhood I'm door knocking in. We sent them mailers 2 days ago, and this is what it looked like. We had our clients drop something on next door, letting people know that we would be door knocking today, to either buy or sell a house, whatever your goal is. But showing the proof is going to become more important than ever. Mm-hmm. And your clients are going to know where to find that proof shortly after agents like me and Matt and start publishing, this is what we do and this is how we do it. The agents that don't want to put in that work for the money won't make the money. Mm-hmm. And previously, the money was there anyway for you on the buyer side of the transaction because you didn't negotiate that. Mm-hmm. But now more than ever, you're going to have to say, this is what we do for you, Mr. Buyer. This is why you need our services. Here's the laundry list of how we work for you. And not the pretentious social media post saying, here's where a real estate agent's check goes and why I don't make any money. That's like the worst thing you could do. Do not do that.
True.
Instead, actually do the work and show people what you do. Hmm. I used to, whenever stories first came out, I would take a picture of myself door knocking neighborhoods. And someone asked me like, well, how many leads did you get door knocking? Was it a super waste of time? Some days it was a complete waste of time. I got no leads door knocking, but I got a lot of leads from people that saw me door knocking. Mm-hmm. So because I was willing to do the work, I would pick up clients who wanted someone that would actually work. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing moving forward. Whatever your process or system is, whatever you want to put in place, spend less time focusing how to communicate it to a buyer or seller so that they're fooled into using you, and spend more time saying, this is what we did for this client. Here's how it worked. Here's the result. Let us do that for you.
Yeah. 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 I love that because so many people talk about their past success with buyers and sellers. And obviously there's a lot to be said for some social proof. I think, our sellers and buyers are always looking to us for, well, tell me about your track record, right? And why should I trust you to sell my largest asset? Or why should I trust you with the largest single investment I've ever held in my entire life? But I also think that putting in some of that pre-work, if you will, is also going to become more important because and we've seen this here in Atlanta, I know you guys have seen that in Arkansas as well, that the inventory there for a little while was scarce and you had to go out and create opportunity, right? And you had to get creative and you had to think differently about how to help and how to serve. And so I really like that you mentioned that. And I think the other thing, my takeaway from that too, is that you can be a 10 out of 10. You can know the contracts inside and out. You can know how to navigate a transaction. You can know how to protect your buyer or your seller. But if your ability to communicate that value, if your ability to communicate that you're a 10 out of 10 is a 2 or a 3, you will also fail in this business, right? It's because after all, we are marketers, not just on the selling side with pictures and video and media days and, trying to make people laugh, but also educating them about our process and the product that we're putting out there. But especially on the buyer side of things, they want and they need that education of what's changing and how things are changing. And what does it mean for them? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, that's your job. And I think a lot of people have kind of been resting on their laurels a little bit with that piece of things, apparently. So in terms of just the buy side alone, I'm curious, have you ever had, and you mentioned door knocking as an example, and I love that example because I think if you've never been door knocking, whether it's for real estate or otherwise, I used to sell the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here in Atlanta for about 2 years door to door, and it was a grind. It was rough. But it teaches you a lot about sales. It teaches you a lot about that hard work and that grind and how to you know, work around some objections, let's say, especially when you're, you know, around dinner time, people are really, really tense that someone is knocking on their door, right?
That's true.
But speaking specifically to the buyer side of things, you know, how do you think we can all get better in communicating our value? Because this is one of the biggest things I hear between really, really solid listing agents and really good, honestly, buyer's agents is that buyer agents work harder than listing agents do. And of course, the listing agents are saying, you know how long it took me to get this listing, how much time and effort. And, you know, so on the buy side specifically, what do you think we should be doing, not just as an industry, but just as a community in general? What can we be doing better?
That's a good, I think it may be easier to analyze the stuff that is worth no value now. So showing properties to your clients who sent you all the ones they were interested in, that has no value anymore. If you are relying on them to send you something off of Zillow, or maybe you put them on your drip from your IDX website, that is essentially worth $0 because they're doing all the work. They're looking at the marketplace. They're analyzing what is on there. They're saying, hey, these are our 5 out of the 30 you've sent us. So I think on the flip side, agents who will look at the market and filter on behalf of the buyer and say, hey, I know, you know, anyone can show a number of bedrooms, bathrooms, square footage. Anyone can do that. And there will be companies that do that for a low fee moving forward. So what is the value proposition then with opening a door? Because that's what a lot of people associate with a buyer agent. Well, he just unlocked the door and got 50K. Like, what's the value proposition in that? And if you're waiting on your clients to send you the listing, there is no value prop there. However, if you're going into the market, analyzing what's currently there, filtering that, sorting that, ordering it, sending it now back to your client saying, hey, of the 30 properties that are on the market, we believe that these 5 fit your criteria most. And let me tell you how. Here's 123 Main Street. Here's all the details. Here's what you specifically requested that it has that you can't filter on the MLS or Zillow, trulyarealtor.com. But you as a real estate agent have called the other agent, found out the additional information. Maybe you toured the home or previewed the home for them, and you have videos of these properties already. These are the things that are going to increase the service level for the buyer to where they can be more confident that the 5 that you selected are legitimately the 5 out of the 30 that they liked.
Yeah.
And you can even also go the negative route. Say, here are the other 25. Here's why we didn't pick this one. Here's why we didn't pick this one. You know, you said you wanted a 3-car garage. These 4 options only had a 2-car garage. However, everything else about them did match. So if you want to be more flexible in that bit of criteria, we can open up this inventory for you. But you have to be communicating that through the service. And then you have proof of what you do that you could communicate to the next buyer. So while you still have a chance right now, while you still have agents or while you still have agents that are paying your commission right now from the listing side, then you need to take every opportunity you can to increase the value that you're currently giving to those clients, document that value. So now that you have some proof to give future clients to say, this is what we do. If you don't provide off-market opportunities for your clients, that's going to be a huge plus in the future for those agents that do. So if I can provide a notebook full of off-market properties and show them these off-market properties that they may or may not have a chance with, and then tell them and communicate with them, here's how I opened up this inventory for you, then that's going to be a huge win. So did you do the Ninja book? So if you remember, when we went through that book club, there were core services that anyone should offer, differentiating services that should be offered that you can add to your plan, custom services that affect people in certain situations, and then convenient services that you can help just kind of smooth along the process. Those core services are like the MLS drip, the home previews, the negotiations, transaction coordination, answering the phone when people call, open houses, CMAs. Those are all things that every agent should do. Well, then you have to look at each one of those services and say, how am I going to differentiate myself from the market from the guy that's going to take $500 to unlock all their doors, write up the contract, and then they're done.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that I do different?
Yep.
Do you market on behalf of your clients? Right. For years, we said, oh, look at the listing marketing we do. We put your home at the forefront in front of the most buyers possible. Well, are you taking your buyer clients and marketing them, maybe not by name or face,
sure,
but marketing what they're looking for and putting it in front of the largest number of sellers possible? How are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
What are the results of you doing that?
Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with builders that you get lists of homes that are not completed yet, not on the market, but that are coming, so that you can help your clients say, well, I'm not really moving right now, 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months, and then we're going to make a decision to move. We do want something new construction though. Oh, well, here's a list of everything that'll be done in that time frame. You can actually go ahead and plan the move now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you have those? Do you have the expert vetted lender list, the expert vetted vendors for, you know, construction, and the title companies that are expert? They're going to be, those are all things I think that add more value to the buyer side of the equation. What is your negotiation? Do you have a list price to sell price ratio that's better than the market, or do you match the market? Because if you're better than the market, it's time to start marketing that.
Yeah.
The people that use me save an average of $10,000, even though they pay me.
Right.
So what does that look like? So I think if I was a buyer agent in this market, I wouldn't get scared and start chasing listings. I would hone my skills as a buyer agent and make sure that I'm working on a huge list of differentiated services that I could spell out and say, here's our buyer process. This is what's worked for our clients. Here's several clients that have been through it. Here are their testimonials. Here's the house they live in now. Let me do that for you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've been talking a lot about this, not just at the, local level, but certainly the regional and national levels, in terms of, different companies, different associations have different policies on what you, can talk about. But also, to your point, I think our value proposition, and we've seen some of this from NAR as well, should be at the forefront, right? Because that is a big part of the education. And we got to remember, I think a lot of our listeners will take some solace. Our clients aren't doing this every day like we are. And I think we forget that sometimes. So we're a little too close to the sun sometimes, right? And we forget, and I personally am guilty of it, where I walk into an appointment and I go, I've forgotten that they've forgotten. It's been 10 yeah. years since we purchased or sold a piece of property. And so I love your advice there. We've talked a lot about treating a buyer as a listing. And so how do you communicate your value to the buyer just like you would a seller? But also, to your point, thinking about mailing postcards that you have a buyer ready to go and this price point that wants to be in the school district, in that area, you know, whatever you've got. Because there are people that will reach out to you as a result of that. And I think that's been really, really underrated here, especially in a white hot seller's market. Everyone's going for the listings and it's like, great. And we all understand why, but you could have been missing out on a huge opportunity. So I think you're right. And I appreciate you sharing that. I think that the other thing there too is that as obviously real estate is cyclical, so it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
So as we go maybe back into a more balanced market, God knows when. I'm not predicting anything here, by the way, folks. But when we get back into a balanced or maybe even a buyer's market, I think that's also going to shift a lot of people's business that have only been in for 3, 5, 7 years and have only ever known a seller's market or a balance to a seller's market. And when we go back, and I'm already hearing it in the market, this thing's been on for 60 days. And I'm like, that feels more balanced to me. That feels more normal. Well, our inventory is still low.
Yeah.
But that type of activity, you know, we got used to, just like our consumers, right? Well, I'm not getting a 2 or 3% interest rate. Well, yeah, but 6 is still low. Historically
so below average still.
Let's give us some context. Yeah. But I think your advice there is solid. So I appreciate you sharing that. So kind of thinking about, the people that have been in to just a seller's market that maybe have only focused on listings because it's good. Of course, everyone in the industry says focus on listings, focus on listings. But I think if you're really good in this business, you do both. You have a
yeah.
finger on the pulse, right, of what is happening, what your buyers are challenged with, also what your sellers are challenged with. And so talk to us a little bit about the positioning within y'all's business about how you navigate both sides and your communication. Is there anything you do with sellers that you also do with buyers that's kind of that congruent activity or behavior, I guess?
We're starting to do a lot of the same things. I mean, yeah. A lot of the same marketing principles and practices that we do, we're starting to pull over onto the other side because it works like that to increase the services that we can offer and the money that we should make from it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of similarities. If you look at our listing launch plan, basically having a buyer launch plan that goes through some of the same things. And they're the coming soon buyer, you can market all you want for as long as you want. Right. So, Hey guys, I have a buyer. They're not ready to buy yet, but in 6 months, they're going to buy. This is what they're looking for. So if you're a seller out there, you may not be ready to market your home yet. Contact me. It could be something that we set up now for future. Like you could do that all you want because a coming soon listing, quote unquote, you may not be able to market right away, but a coming soon buyer, you can market forever. Mm-hmm. So I think there's creative things that we can do like that for buyers that increase that service. That's similar to what we would do for a listing. It's just having a different, like I think all agents to look at their listing launch and say, what do we do for listings and how could that be converted to a buyer?
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what we're going to have to do for our, for our business mix. Traditionally we would get about 2 buyers off of every listing. And so that winds up being a 60-40, usually 60% buyers, 40% sellers. But for our business mix, we're looking to hone in maybe closer to 50-50 or even if anything, more listings than buyers. I think that's going to be a natural ebb and flow of the market for a while. You're going to have buyers that say, well, I don't need an agent. But if you recall, like in the 1990s, the reason why buyer agency happened the way it happened was because buyers felt like they were being taken advantage of from all these listing agents and sellers. Because they weren't getting the fair representation that they felt like they were owed. Mm-hmm. And so as the pendulum swings, I think that's going to happen again. But right now it does seem to be swinging in the other direction. So we're, you know, it's not like we're focusing on that, but are we doing more listing marketing now? Sure. Mm-hmm. But in part because we've always had a good buyer program for since 2007, when I started, I've been signing exclusive buyer representation agreements that has amount of money in there that they are obligated to pay me. And they give me permission to accept partial or complete payment of that fee from the seller or the listing firm. I've been doing that since 07. So my pitch, I don't even know how much our contracts are going to change. I'm actually going to a meeting at the end of April about that. So I don't think that's going to change that much for me and my business, because that's what we've been saying. You know, yeah. If the seller refuses to pay, you'll pay. And Our clients are like, well, if you'll do all this for me and help me find a house, let's go.
Yeah.
It's just the public perception of offering that. That's where the change is going to happen. I think that's going to be the discussion that's going to be hardest to win.
Yeah. Well, in closing here, if someone wants to find out more about Ray, obviously we mentioned the show earlier. I think it's a brilliant platform for sharing the real estate news across the country, but also hyper-locally with different agents around the country. So any other place that you would point people to follow or connect with you?
Yeah, the podcast is This Week in Real Estate. You just look up the This Week in Real Estate or TYR Pod. And you can also find me on Instagram, Ray Zorback. That's RayZorBack.
Awesome. Very good. I really appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Awesome, dude.
Thank you for tuning in to the Atlanta Realtors Rundown. Please subscribe. And for more information on how to get engaged, check us out at atlantarealtors.com. We look forward to having you join us for the next episode.